Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we'll warn you. You'll have to pry it from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it. One shot at a time.
As we continue our conversation with Attorney Penny Dean here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse, talk about what she believes to be an upcoming gun ban at Concord Hospital, and we'll continue to talk about that. Penny, let's go to the calls first, shall we? All right, Penny, let's go to Mitchell in Vermont. Mitchell, welcome to Bulldog Live along with Attorney Penny Dean.
Thank you very much. I have a question you might want to ask Kevin MacArthur.
What's that?
Ask him if this hospital's willing to take on the medical care of people assaulted on their property.
Medical care of people assaulted on their property?
What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, someone's assaulted that a gun could have prevented.
You want me to take on the financial cost and liability of that?
That's right.
Oh, okay. Well, I was like, wait a minute here.
And you want me to tell you what the worst thing is, okay, or the larger thing is? The question is, do they want to take on the liability and the financial responsibility of all their patients and staff now? Because what you're doing is preventing us from protecting ourselves.
That's right.
And that's a huge, huge issue. And their answer, you know, is that now they've said they're not going to put in metal detectors and stuff yet. And I'm thinking, oh, wow. You know, it's just unheard of.
Right, just like the State House, yeah.
That's exactly right. The bottom line is, and the answer is, here's the bottom line. If they're not going to be wanding people and testing people, I'm concerned they're going to profile people. I'm this blonde girl dressed up nice in my clothes, okay? Am I going to be...
Well, here comes the talk show host who's everybody's voice they recognize and who talks about gun rights.
Right. So the whole thing is we're going to say to me, do you have a gun on you? Or, you know, do you have a firearm on you? As opposed to, it's like one person said, because, of course, I have toenail polish. I have these pedicures, right? And my left toe has a Target 10.98, right? My right toe has my favorite gun of the weekend. And and so the thing is, someone like me who chooses to ornament myself in the Second Amendment, you know, am I going to get targeted and treat differently than, say, for example, another person? Or here's the other thing. Is some guy who's, you know, 56-year-old dressed up nice in a suit be treated differently than, you know, one of those kids with those baggy pants and a T-shirt that says something obscene on? Who's going to get targeted first and asked to be searched? And the question is, I ask them how they're going to handle that. Well, it's case-by-case basis. I say that is arbitrary enforcement of the different guards there.
That's right.
Well, Mitchell, thank you very much for your question. That was a good point.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you. Thank you.
Yes.
Quite welcome. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. Penny, because time is quickly approaching on us here, and I just have about 2 minutes left, and I do have to ask you because, you know, it's not like we haven't talked about this issue for the past week. The Brian Blackton case, is there anything, any updates to this? Anything that's been going on in the last few days?
You know, unfortunately, now I'm in what's called the no-comment mode.
Okay.
And here's to explain to readers the difference in lawyers and comment versus no-comment. I still believe it's a pure First Amendment case, but the state police have now announced they're investigating him for criminal charges. They've returned his camera minus the chip. So in other words, the chip with all the pictures they have. And because there's a criminal investigation going on, I'm going to say no-comment because we don't know what's going to happen. If things changes, I'll comment. But as long as that, it's no comment. And his case is a really good case just procedurally to illustrate things that happen with interaction with PD. You never, ever physically resist, but you also verbally protest every step of the way. But you also don't do things like if they say, let me look in your trunk, the answer is no. If they say, give me your keys, the answer is no. If they order you to give keys, every step of the way you say, I don't want you opening my trunk. You forced me to give you the keys. You took my keys. Again, never physically resisting, but always verbally protesting, saying, I don't agree to that. Because in some particular cases, some police departments have camera audio and video that can catch everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And if you voluntarily, let's say you hand them your keys, courts will find that's implicit consent because you handed them your keys.
Right.
you know, and so you have to verbally protest everything every step of the way, but never physically blocking them or doing anything, because what you'll get is overbearing police officers will charge you with hindering an investigation, disobeying a police officer, and a whole bunch of things. But as I've explained before, you have to verbally say to them, you know, are you going to make me do this? Do I have a choice? If there's a choice, my answer is no, I will not open my trunk.
All right, and with that, I've got to run. Penny at pennydean.com and 230-9999.
Okay, talk to you later.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Yep.